What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
720 WGN. It is 3:39. Our friend Dr. Dana Varbal is with us. She joins us every other Friday. She's the chief veterinary officer for the North American Veterinary Community and Chicago's Exotic Pet Vet. How are you today, Dana?
I'm good. Staying inside and out of this heat this week for sure.
Yeah, I know. It's a struggle for animals, especially dogs. And I know John Landecker was talking about the concern about dogs walking on hot pavement.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know this by now, but if you've ever tried to run outside barefoot this time of year, you probably came to regret that very quickly. Think about it. Our dogs are essentially barefoot all the time. So, yeah. You know, if you're running outside, it's too hot on your feet, on the concrete, on the pavement, it's probably going to be too hot even on their feet very quickly. So get your walks in the morning or as the evening hours come around and skip that midday heat for a while.
You know what? I think that is just common sense. And if you have a dog and you're not adhering to using that common sense, then maybe you shouldn't have a dog, really. I mean,
well, you know, I think sometimes what happens is, especially young dogs that have a lot of energy, we just try and find anything to do with them. Like, they're driving us crazy. You know, if you've got a year-old or two-year-old dog, it's a high-energy breed. Sometimes you're like, oh, let's just go for a walk. But keep them short and maybe keep them to a park or a little backyard playtime and then back into the air conditioning and a nice cool bowl of water for your dog. Glass of water for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was reading an article in USA Today about the number of fatal dog attacks. They say, according to the CDC, the number of fatal dog attacks more than doubled from about 40 a year to more than 100 a year after the pandemic hit. And now they say the number of bites each year has increased. It used to be 20 years ago about 4.5 million dog bites a year. Now 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, they really don't know. Is there anything you can share with our audience that would help them identify a trigger for their dog? I mean, yes, keep your dog on a leash. You should know whether your dog is dangerous, but they do act erratically at times where we just don't see it coming.
Yeah, I mean, the hard thing about dog bites is it can be, there are some that are very, you know it's going to happen. You've got a dog that's got problems, they're put in a bad situation, or you have dogs that are running loose, especially if there's more than one. They kind of get that pack mentality, get a lot more confident and a lot more bold than they would usually be. So, you know, those situations arise and you can start to see where bites happen very easily. Sometimes bites get triggered and we don't know why. I will say, you know, the one thing that's interesting about that statistic, and I haven't looked at it completely. I saw the same article, but the number of dogs we've had has gone up too. So,
right.
You know, it'd be interesting to see if the rate is consistent with just the amount of pets we're keeping or if it truly is going up in a, you know, per dog, I'd say per capita, but I think the term is per dog away. So, you know, one thing with dogs is we talk about body language a lot. And, you know, people know if they, you know, if they're growling, if their body's lowered, if they're, you know, very quiet, those are concerns. But I think there's some more subtle concerns you need to look for. A lot of bites, unfortunately, involve children. It's sad because now we've got a kid who had a really bad experience with a dog and a dog who's got a really bad experience with children. You know, it's not a good combination. So keep a very, very close eye on kids, grandkids, even with dogs that they're used to or that they know. I've heard, you know, stories where kids tripped and fell and landed on the dog or tripped and fell and hit the dog. And the dog just startled and bit because they weren't expecting it. So the incidents like that are really tough because, you know, maybe not the dog's fault, maybe not the kid's fault, but, you know, just keep those things in mind. Try and put them in safe environments. Look for dogs who are licking their lips or pinning their ears or even yawning. Those are my subtle signs of stress that you've got a dog that maybe just needs a break. Break from the person, break from the kids, break from another dog.
Interesting. Someone said, is it true a red collar indicates an aggressive dog? I've never heard that. Have you?
I have not heard that. Some people with dogs who they know are not dog friendly will have it written right on their leash. I am not friendly.
Oh.
You know, respect. Those people are trying to walk their dog. They're trying to get out there, get their dog some exercise, give them some extra space, wave, say hi, and let them go about their day. You know, some dogs respond very, get something we call leash aggression. And it's where they feel like they're in their little bubble. So they have to defend their little space. And that could be their owner as well. So some dogs are more friendly off leash than on leash. That's not as common, though. Off-leash dogs always worry me because they're the ones who kind of, again, get a little geared up, get that pack mentality, and feel the need to defend their space.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Dana Varble is with us. Coming up next, your questions answered, especially for the person who has a dog that likes to hunt toads. And some of those typical behaviors that we all see, the butt drag, the post-dinner face rub, the post-poop sprint, the kicking up turf. She'll explain what those behaviors mean. First, a check on weather and traffic with Mary Vandeveld.
How much is that doggy in the window?
How about we get away from buying dogs and adopt them instead? Boy, that harkens back to a time when that's what you would do, and we've moved away from that, thank God. This is 720 WGN. Every other Friday, Dr. Dana Varble, chief vet for the North American Veterinary Community and Chicago's Exotic Pet Vet, joins us. And, of course, the questions flood in. So about this dog, Doc, they said that their dog loves to chase toads and licks them and messes with them, and they can't get the dog to stop.
Oh, what an interesting toy habit to have acquired. Not sure why either. Toads and frogs have a lot of really well-developed scent glands on the backs of their heads, on the backs of their body. And those glands release fluid that is supposed to be tasting bad. We don't have the toads here in Illinois, but many toads are actually poisonous to dogs. So again, not a poisonous problem, but I have absolutely no clue why a dog would develop an affinity for an animal whose one of their big jobs is to really taste horrible. So, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I don't have any advice to keep them out of your yard, but do your best to maybe train a good leave it and let those frogs and toads be on their own.
Yeah. About the red collar, somebody said a yellow ribbon on a leash means that the dog needs space between them and other dogs. And I did give it a quick Google, and it is a thing. So if you see a yellow ribbon on a leash, that means the dog might be snappy, needs space, don't approach. Someone, when we were talking about dog behaviors, they said, what's the 360-degree circling before laying down? Or sometimes pooping.
Oh.
I mean, over and over, they'll go in a circle around and around.
So there's a couple of theories about how this behavior developed. One theory is that it's very ancient, because this actually occurs in other animals, too. It occurs in wolves. It occurs in wild cats. And one theory is that helped them basically trample down the grass and plants and make a little, for lack of a better word, bed or flat area in the ground. And for some reason, that behavior has stuck it out through evolution, and it's hanging out in our dogs. Another theory with the taking a poop part is that sometimes they just feel like they need to spread their scent around, and dogs have scent glands on their feet as well. So, you know, it's a possibility like they're marking not just the area that they go ahead and take poop in, but the area around it as well.
And why do they rub their face after they eat dinner? I mean, really, are they just washing it off on our carpet, or, you know, they go to the nearest rug?
They kind of do. And actually, yeah, it's not even that complicated. It's just their way of using, unfortunately, your favorite rug is a napkin. their foods, especially, if you've ever grabbed kibble in your hand, you know that sometimes the grains of the kibble get stuck on your hand. Well, the same thing, especially those dogs that, you know, just bury their whole head right in the middle of the bowl. They get kibble up to their ears, and then they start eating it. So it gets all over their face. It's a little itchy. It's a little rough. And they went, go ahead and take care of that on your carpet.
And then why, after they do their business, do they want to? I had Hank was a, you know, I'm going to kick the grass. I'm going to send some sod flying. Like, why every time?
Well, it's mainly to ruin your lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does do a good job of that. But actually, again, it goes back to those scent glands on their feet. So when dogs defecate, not only does the stool leave an obvious smell, but their anal glands, which are on either side of their rectum, actually deposit scent fluid around the stool as well. When they kick that fluid out, they're literally sending their scent spraying through the air, saying, just remember, this is my yard. Don't come near it.
Interesting. And why are squeaky toys so universally intriguing to dogs? I mean, most dogs, it takes one squeak. And my dogs, I've had one that he has to do surgery. It has to be removed. You cannot have the squeaky in the toy. The other one, not so interested. But what's with that?
Oh, and if you get a dog who's absolutely obsessed with a squeaky toy, I don't know about everyone else, but sometimes we have to take the squeaky toys away.
Yeah.
Because we will be like, okay, everyone in the house has a headache, apparently, except for you, because you've been squeaking this toy for so long. You know, dogs explore their world in ways that are slightly different than us, and they hear really well, but the squeaky toy is just a satisfying noise to them. It's a little bit like us listening to music, only their taste is really different than ours. So they get really obsessed with one song, and their song just happens to be a squeaky toy that they play over and over and over and over and over again until we take it away.
Yes, exactly. Did you see that Peloton is now offering some kind of exercise program for dogs? Is that really necessary?
I love it. I'm excited to check it out. I think this is a fantastic idea, actually. We know obesity is a problem in our pets, and we're encouraging people to be more active with their pets. So it sounds like Peloton's just decided to incorporate some good veterinary advice into their exercise advice. You know, I saw there are options like meditation and yoga. If you have luck doing it with your dog, let me know. That's not going to fly in my house. We're not going to sit still and do meditation. But the one thing that really intrigued me is they had some walking and running programs. And, of course, you know, make sure your dog is healthy and able to exercise first. Make sure you are as well. But I think it's great because we know that people that walk their dogs more tend to lose weight. Their dogs tend to lose weight. And both of you guys are healthier for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so everybody's gathering, you know, for Father's Day, 4th of July picnics. Some people show up at your house. They don't have animals, and they feel the need to feed your animals, which might be foods they really shouldn't consume. Can you talk about some of those top foods? I mean, we know a lot of them. You know, we know the chocolate and many of those things. But are there some more obscure ones that people don't think about that are toxic for dogs?
You know, the big one that stands out to me around this time of year, because they start to come in season because it's going to be hot, and we all love, like, cool grapes in the summer, I think, are one of the best summer treats, but your dog can add zero grapes, zero raisins. For reasons we don't fully understand, it's got to do with some of the chemical components of the grapes. Some dogs, not all dogs, but we don't know which ones, can develop kidney disease and even kidney failure from grapes. So although, you know, there's a threshold, it can be very low for some dogs, higher for others. Again, we don't know which dogs. There's no specific test. So I always say this time of year, make sure to keep those grapes and raisins away from the dogs. If you've got little kids, you know, grapes and raisins should be eaten with in one room and dogs in the other room, because even a few drops can cause problems. Raisin bread is another one that stands out. It's a sneaky one, or raisins and cookies that hit the floor. Again, make sure your dog and cat can't get those. Probably the other things that stand out, you know, if for some reason there's a few things that if your dog really overindulged in things like green tomatoes or green potatoes, those things can cause a problem. Not very common. So to go back to the common ones, the other thing is this time of year, again, we're often out grilling. Cut onions, garlic can be toxic to dogs. It actually causes a form of anemia, a loss of red blood cells. So we want to keep those things up and away from the dogs. Again, I don't know why a dog would eat a whole onion, But have I heard of it happening? I have.
Yeah, I bet.
And they don't feel very good. Yeah. Luckily for Father's Day, we don't have a ton of chocolate gifts floating around out there right now. So that's not a huge thing this time of year. It's very melty for chocolate right now.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a beautiful weekend.
You too. Thanks so much.
That is Dr. Dana Varbal. You will find her at ChicagoExoticPetVet.com. Steve has your news coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And then Jared Allen, NFL great, is going to talk about his mullet and his he's going to promote the Illinois State Fair. He's a mullet man. I think it's back, but that's on the way on 720 WGN. On air, online.